Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you would stand with me and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. And while you're turning there, Bishop on Wednesday asked me to, thought it would be good that I make the announcement that I made on Wednesday in my message, because many weren't here, but we have been in an adoption journey for the last year, 1 year, and 7 days ago, the Lord said to push on the door when the normal wait time is 1 to 3 years, 6 months after being officially approved. We got word. You can't really read that, at least I can't from the back screen, but God has picked the perfect little one. Baby boy is going to be born, or is due to be born, on October 28th down in Mississippi, and we'll be heading down there to pick up the little one that God has chosen for us, and we're excited about that. Amen. God is good. Amen. All the time, God is good. That's for sure. If you're in a journey and you've got questions, everything, I want to encourage, not because I spoke, but because the Lord, I felt, really ministered on Wednesday night to many folks. If we encourage you, go to the website, download that message. It will be encouraged. Some good principles that help us. Still learning and growing in them myself. It's an ever process. Amen. But Luke chapter 4 in verse 18, I'm actually speaking from the New King James Version. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And this is Jesus speaking, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This morning we're going to speak on the topic, why Jesus came. Why Jesus came. Let's put our Bibles down and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you so much, Jesus, for your goodness, your blessings. We thank you, God, for the presence that we feel in this place, God. We pray you anoint our hearts to hear your word, anoint every mind, every soul in this place, those who need a touch of you, Lord God. Let us be stirred by your word, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, let it come back, Lord, not void, but fruitful this morning, God. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Hallelujah. Let's give them a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So Jesus walks into the synagogue one day, picks up the scrolls from Isaiah 61, and begins to read this passage, telling them, and then at the very end, after this, says, "This prophecy is evident, has been fulfilled in your presence," basically saying what was prophesied years and years ago, I am the manifestation of that promise. I am the one who's come to heal and to preach the gospel to the poor, etc. And so we look at why Jesus came. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just these things, a good religious figure that many people acknowledge but don't know. He came for six things, and we're going to talk about them. The first reason why Jesus came was to preach the gospel to the poor. Wait a minute. So you're saying, Pastor Phil, that a prerequisite for hearing the gospel is to be poor? Some are like, yeah, college students, come on now. I can hear it. Others may be like, that's totally unfair. Like, you know, I've got a good job, and just because I'm over the official poverty line of the United States, that I don't get to enjoy the gospel. No. Obviously, you don't have to be poor financially wise to hear the gospel. Again, from Isaiah 61 is where Jesus is reading from, and let's check that out to get a better understanding. Isaiah 61:1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." So the word here is meek. Another scripture that can help us understand the context of the word poor in Luke is Matthew 5:3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And if you look at that scripture in the Amplified Version, it says, blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy, to be admired, are the poor in spirit, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, both now and forever. So the word poor in Luke 4 can also mean meek, the word meek, which also implies a humility. And so those who admit that they don't have it all together and they need a Savior are those who are poor in spirit, saying, you know what, God, I want something from you. And God is saying, that's who I came to preach the gospel for, too. So Jesus came to preach the gospel to those who are humble enough to admit they need to hear the gospel. Unfortunately, there are those who may never darken the door of the church because they don't feel they need help. Until something crazy, the pastor references, like 911, 9/11, where people flooded the church door, like, I need God. And then a few months later, it's like, well, I don't need God anymore. I'm good. And maybe someday that's going to happen again as judgment comes on our nation. You never know, but that is who the gospel is for. There also may be those who are sitting under the sound of my voice that come to church, but your lack of response week after week give God indication that you don't need the gospel. You know, I like the feeling, like the presence. I like feeling good that, hey, I'm a good Christian, good church goer. Yet there's no response in your life, no change in your life, no adjustment in your life, no correction of course in your life. And so really you're saying, I really don't need this. I'm good, but I want to support the church. I want to, you know, I'm a good person, so I'm going to go to church. Yet there's no correction, no course correction. So we have to ask ourselves, are we really poor in spirit, poor, meek? Are we humble? Are we saying, God, I need you? What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. It is the story of Jesus coming to earth, dying for our sins, being buried, and rising again. And he did all of that physically so we could do the same spiritually. We can die to our flesh, die to this world. And we can, in repentance, repentance is a changing of our mind, a changing the direction we're going, a changing of our behavior. And then we are buried with Christ through baptism, having the name of Jesus called over us as we go under the water. This symbolizes that we are burying the old man and becoming a new creature, as the scripture says. Then our spirit can rise again as we are filled with God's spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Pastor Seidel said that today you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the good news. But Jesus came to preach it to those who want it. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force you to be set free from a sinful life. If you want to sin, he's okay. Have at it and face the consequences down the road. And enjoy the sinful life, which just leads to destruction. But those who say, you know what, I'm sick of the things in my life. The Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh. He's close to those that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. A broken heart alludes to someone who is crushed by sin, describes a person who has a deep guilt or sorrow because of the result of their sinful life. Someone who says, you know what, it's taken me down the wrong path. I didn't want to go here. I didn't want to end up like this. But yet I'm here and I need something from you, God. And he is close, the Bible promises. I'm preaching this morning to someone who is fed up with trying to do it their own way. Someone who is tired of running around in circles and realizes I've got to get some help. I'm a mess, and I'm sorry for the mess I've made, God. Change me. That's why Jesus came. That's some good news for you this morning, for those who are in that position. 2 Corinthians 17:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. A godly sorrow naturally leads us to receive the gospel, the good news, that there is a way out of our sinful lives. We can repent. We can be baptized, come out with a fresh start, with those sins washed away. We can be filled with the Spirit that will help lead us and guide us in new life. Hallelujah. Isaiah 66:1-2 says, thus saith the Lord, The heaven is in my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Here's the guy I'm looking at. Here's the girl I'm looking at. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God may sit in the heavens, but his eye is on those this morning who are humble and want to change. Hallelujah. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. Again, we look at it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The heart is the seat of emotions. And so I would categorize this area as him coming to heal emotional needs, emotional hurts and pains, emotional scars. One result of a sinful world is the existence of emotional pain. As we see in Scripture, a heart centered on Jesus is called to be kind, to be loving, to treat others as you would want to be treated, to show compassion, on and on and on. We can infer then, because of our nature, that one who is not centered on Jesus and who is having the natural sinful tendencies manifested in his life does not have a life of kindness, is not loving. In our selfishness or pride, humanity can be downright mean and nasty and hurtful. Words by a parent telling you years and years ago as a child that you are worthless can still have a bitter sting decades later. The unfaithfulness of a spouse, a failure in your efforts in life, in a business venture, or there are hurts, people just being mean to you. There are hurts emotionally, scars that we have, rooms that we just lock up and push away. It's not uncommon, rather, it's almost the norm that we at one point or another will have emotional hurt in our lives. Listen to David describe it. King David in the Old Testament, Psalms 69, verse 1. He says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Just overwhelmed, God, by the situations and the circumstances. Later in that chapter, verse 20, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." That's why Jesus came. Again, in Isaiah, where prophecy is given about Jesus, it says in Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did see him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Psalms 147, 3 puts it this way, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And he can heal you this morning if you come to pray and open up that room to him. Open up that door and say, "God, all right, I'm going to let, yeah, it's painful, but I've got to change. I can't let that lead my life and direct my life anymore." I love how David puts it in Psalm 73. "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein." Until I got in the presence of God, this was such a painful area in my life, such an emotional, hurtful area. But when I got into his presence, oh, he healed me. He brought pain. He brought freedom from that pain. It may be painful, but in the presence of Almighty God, you can trust him to open yourself up and let him heal you. That's why he came. That's why he came. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Again, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So basically what you're saying is that he's going to go out and bust everyone out of jail and set them free. Sweet. Wrong context. Wrong interpretation. Sorry for those with loved ones incarcerated. I apologize. It's not what he's saying. Think about it. Who are captive? Who are the bound? There's a lot of things you can be a prisoner of. You can be a prisoner of drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, emotional eating. You can be a prisoner of depression, how you feel about yourself. You can be a prisoner of your past. Many things, on and on and on, other specifics, but you can be a prisoner in many different ways. If you think about it, all these prison cells are because of poor decisions we make. Wait a minute. Addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to drugs, cigarettes. I can't stop. It's not. Well, you may be addicted to those things, a substance, but it was your poor decision making in the first place that made you take that first drink, that first puff. So Jesus came to proclaim liberty of the mind. He dealt with the heart and the emotional, and now he's talking about dealing with the mind or the mental. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." A counselor is someone who helps you understand, among other things, your thought process, how you think and why you think the way you do, what something in the past that is a cause and effect and now in the future, and why you're thinking, which in turn affects the decisions you're making, the actions that you're taking. A counselor helps you figure all that out, and Jesus is a counselor. Psalm 119:130, "The entrance of thy words give light." It gives understanding. Under the simple. Simple is someone who just doesn't know, is naive, doesn't understand. And he gives understanding to those folks. But I noticed something when I was studying for this. Jesus said he would heal emotional needs. Boom, done. We're going to see that in a little bit. One of the other reasons, he can take care of the physical need. He can heal you. Boom, done. But you notice he didn't say he'll set at liberty those who are captive. It says he came to proclaim liberty to the captive. He's saying that he's in your corner. Come on, you can have a better understanding. I will illuminate scripture to your mind. I'll help you see the decisions you make. I'll help you understand. I'll be a counselor. But just like in a counselor that we may face, ultimately, we still have to make the decision. We still have to, day in and day out, choose the action. We can understand fully what our actions cause and understand why we do the things that we do. And we could be proclaimed the liberty of our mind. We're like, oh, that makes so much sense. But we still have to go out and actually take action. Jesus is not going to force you to change an action, to change a mindset. He can deliver us from addiction to drugs, the physical need. That's a physical chemical dependence. But if you make the decision to hang out with the same druggy friends and go to the same parties and do what you always have done, he can't deliver you from dumb decisions. Stuck on stupid, as Brother Hawk said. And you'll probably end up where you right started. He may totally deliver you. Boom, go cold turkey. It's like, amazing. But again, you have to make this choice. All right, God, thanks for delivering me. Sorry, that was a bad influence over there. And so I have to make the hard decision to remove myself, cut those friends out, because they're not going to change. You can be free in your mind. You can have understanding. And he proclaims that. But you have to still make the choice. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus came not only to meet the emotional need, the mental need, but also the physical need. If you open up the Gospels, Matthew, which are the books Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it talks about the life of Jesus, you don't have to go very far before you read an account of someone being healed, physically healed. He healed folks of leprosy, a disease, in Matthew 8. He healed someone who was paralyzed, Matthew 9. He healed someone with a withered hand, Matthew 12. He healed folks who were blind, Matthew 9. He raised folks from the dead, Lazarus. Many of us know the story of that. He healed a kid with epilepsy, seizures. He healed the deaf. He healed speech impediments. He healed issues of blood. He put the ear back on the guy who had it chopped off by his disciple. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I mean, that's miraculous. You know, cancer, it's like I can wrap my butt, like, well, ear, okay. You can hear again. Sorry about that. He was a little hasty there. Jesus came to heal. But it wasn't just because he was on the scene, but still to this day, he is healing. Mark 16, 17, 18, Brother Seidel mentioned this from Brother Bernard's message. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not, well, I don't know. But no, they shall recover. Amen. That's why when we extend the invitation for everyone to come pray at the end of service, we say, all those who are sick, come to this side, your left side. And we'll have ministers to pray with you. Why? James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer shall heal the sick. Here at Calvary Gospel Church, we still believe in that God is in the healing business. And we have seen him do work time and time again. So why not you? Well, come boldly. Say, God, I'm going. I'm going to go get prayed for. I'm going to believe one more time for my healing. Amen. If you have a physical need here this morning, you can be healed. Hallelujah. That deserves a shout of praise to the Lord. That he came to heal us, give sight to the blind. Hallelujah. He anointed me to preach the gospel. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus came to set at liberty those with spiritual needs. Whether it's the oppression of religiosity or traditions, or an oppressive spirit, Jesus is here this morning to set you free on a spiritual level. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were so concerned about the letter of the law, the do's and the don'ts. And though we don't have, we are in the dispensation of grace, the time period of grace, where we don't have to follow the letter of the law and we're led by his spirit, so we naturally follow it because of God leading us, it's very easy for us to say, well, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. And that's how I live my life. And there's no relationship. It's like, well, the Bible says it. It's not because I'm in the presence of God and God says, you know what, you really should be kind to your neighbor, even though they mow on your side or their dog lays his, like, presence for you. No, we say, well, I got to be kind. Well, it's too bad. If I wasn't a Christian, we've heard that bishop joke about that. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd pick it up and throw it on his yard, you know. But I got to because the word of God. That's how oppressive is that? Versus just saying, you know what? It's just a little dookie. I can pick it up. You know, just embarrass my wife. Literally, I mowed like a couple weeks ago, and then like three or like both sides now have dogs. It's like, but it's just like, you know what? Maybe if I don't have an attitude and I don't be like, hey, here's your bag, your dog. Maybe they'll say, man, that guy's really kind. And it's freeing because why? It's not a do's and don'ts. There's an oppressiveness of religiosity of like, I have to do this. I have to do that. Now, that's a good start to say, you know what? Scripture says it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow it. But man, get in the presence of God and say, God, help me understand this. Wait a minute. Pastor has a specific preference that I can't find in the scripture? Huh. My goodness. Why? It's freeing when you say, you know what? He must understand something that I don't. And he's the shepherd over me. And so he sets a guideline that's not scriptural that I can't find in scripture. It's freeing. not oppressive of the religiosity. Paul, in speaking to the church of Galatia, those who had been set free in the name of Jesus, he says, Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the bondage of following the letter of the law with no relationship with God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his presence, his righteousness, and he's going to show you the way to live. And you know what? It's going to line up with the letter of the law. There's another scripture I don't have written down, but that talks about that, is when you are led of the Spirit, all the law is going to be fulfilled. Don't worry about that. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus came. Later on, or earlier in Galatians chapter 4, 3 through 5, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them who were under the law, that they may receive the adoption of sons. There's a freedom in a spirit world. And that's why Jesus came to the church at Corinth. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. A liberty from religiosity and into relationship with Jesus. Now, it's not a liberty to do whatever you want, like, woo, just going to live life, and, you know, I had experience, and so now I can just go out and curse like a sailor and do whatever because God saved me, and I'm forever, ever, ever, and there's nothing I can do. No, that's, what does the scripture say? It's a liberty to be free in Jesus and to grow from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, changed from glory to glory. There should be change. If you're sitting here this morning and there hasn't been some incremental, even if it's a tiny change in the last year, it's like, where are you in the Lord? Or is that, are you living in oppression? Like, well, I go to church. That's what we always do. Sunday morning, we go to church. Done that since I was a kid, and there's no relationship. You come to church, and the Spirit of God is moving, and people are raising hands like, this is great, you know. Pay my tithes, I'm good. Man, there's so much more. There's so much more. And God came to set at liberty those who are bound by religiosity. There's a freedom in Jesus for those who are oppressed. There's a freedom in Jesus. Amen. Amen. So he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight, emotional, physical, mental, spiritual, those who are oppressed. And lastly, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus was speaking to Jews that day in the synagogue when he quoted scripture from Isaiah 61. These were folks familiar with the plan of God, the festivals, the times, the seasons, the year of Jubilee, all these concepts that God had set out for the children of Israel. They were still living under the law. And so when he references the acceptable year of the Lord, he's talking about when it's the right season. And they understood this concept. And so when is that time? Do we have to wait like the lame man who was waiting for the waters to be troubled so he could get in the pool to be healed? And he cried out because, like, man, I can't, like, once a year the angel comes, troubles the water, and I don't have anyone to get me in quick enough. Someone gets steps in before I can be healed. And they're like, you don't need to wait. You just stand up, get up, take thy bed and rise and walk. And boom, he was healed. Do you ever see Jesus tell a blind man, I'm going to heal you, but wait till Christmas time. I'll give your sight as a Christmas present. Only, I didn't even check, 100 days-ish left till Christmas. 100 days, wait for it. You'll get your Christmas present, healing, boom. Got you covered. Oh, you don't see that, like, hey, yeah, you know, come back next week. I'm kind of all out of the power. Woo, tired, you know. No, the acceptable year of the Lord was the present. The time was now. Our She's for Christ theme this year, now is the acceptable time of the Lord. Jesus came to tell you that you don't have to wait any longer to humble yourself in godly sorrow and receive salvation. Well, when it gets really, really bad out and the world goes really, really crazy, then I'll give my life to God because I won't have any other choice. Give your life to God now. You don't have to wait to change the direction you're heading to be baptized in Jesus' name to receive the Holy Ghost. The time is now. You don't need to like, well, I got to figure out all the doctrine and understand. You know, if the Bible says it and you say, God, I'm humble, I'm going to turn your direction, just follow Scripture. Worry about God will illuminate things later. God will understand. But get baptized in Jesus' name. Have the sins washed away in his name. Become a new creature, as the word says. You don't have to wait for your heart to be healed, your mind to be enlightened, your physical need to be met, your spiritual oppression to be loosed. No, the time is now. The time is now. And as the musicians come, I want to look at Luke 17. And if you would stand with me as well. Luke 17. Interesting story. It says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. They had leprosy. They had a disease. Who stood afar off. They were commanded by the Jewish law. They had to separate themselves because it was a very communicable disease. So they separated themselves. So they were standing afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. By faith, they said, okay, we'll go. That was the process. If you got a leprosy and you think it's done, you go to the priest, he confirms it, and you can get back into society. And so by faith, they said, boom, we're gonna accept you at your word. You're here for healing. Yeah, I'm gonna go to the priest. I'm gonna believe. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So there has to be some faith, another message. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he didn't go straightway to the priest. No, he saw he was healed as he's walking. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 guys I healed that were cleansed? But where are the other 9? Why are you the only one who came back? They're not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. He wasn't even Jewish. He was Samaritan, which in their culture, ethnic lines, they didn't like. They pushed him away, stranger from society. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. He was already healed, but he was made whole. You may be here this morning with a very pressing need that you need answered. And I believe he will meet you in your willingness, in your faith to come to him and say, you know what? I'm going to try you out, God. I have a physical healing. I have an emotional need. I have a spiritual need. I need deliverance. I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. He wants to do, though, more than just that need. It'd be awesome. You get up and walk and you're healed. Your cancer is eradicated. Praise God for that. We'll give glory to God for that. But he wants more than you to experience that and then walk out the door and just have a healing. Where does that all start? It starts with being poor, being of a humble spirit. Yeah, he wants to miraculously change your life, meet all these needs, but he wants you to be whole so that you can then turn and go and tell people and this thing can explode. Don't just come get your healing. Come get your miracle. Believe in that. But oh, come with so much more saying, I need this, but God, I want more. I want all of you, not just the need, the healing need. I believe he wants to meet a need this morning, but I also believe he wants to make someone whole. Hallelujah. As we begin to pray, I want to encourage you to come again. Front left side, those who need a physical healing. We got ministers who will come. We have oil here. We'll anoint you with oil. Come down to the front like the scripture says. If you're sick, ask for the elders to come. Anoint them with oil. We're going to pray and believe in Jesus' name. If you've got a situation, emotional, mental, spiritual, that you've been dealing with, come right here, right in the middle. Again, we'll have ministers to pray with you. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, come on up here to the right side. God wants to fill you. God wants to help you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to wash all the sin away, the sinful life, the direction you're going. He wants you to change that and make that decision to turn to him. He wants to see someone whole this morning. Won't you come? Won't you find a place? Because he came to touch your lives. He came to heal you.
Everyone needs forgiveness.
Hallelujah. We need some altar team to come at this time. Some folks to pray with people. There's many people up here. Please come and pray with someone if you're not seeking yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.